Achasivamos, it's on Samach Beis Amid Beis, and the general discussion of the Gemara happens to be the mitzvah of Pururvu. So Tanya Braisa, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Nasa Adam Isha Bialduso, Yisa Isha Bizuknuso. That if a person had been married at an earlier stage of his life, and for whatever reason that marriage came to an end, a variety of possibilities, the person, all else being equal, should seek remarriage. Yisa isha biziknuso. Interesting. Okay. Hayulo banim biyalduso. So Rabbi Yeshua goes on, perhaps elaborating or perhaps developing a second point. Person who had children at a younger phase in his life, yihiyu lo banim biziknuso. Even if he is relatively more advanced in years, he should continue to have children. Shene'emar, this is based on a pasuk in Koheles, obviously interpreted metaphorically. Baboker zera es zarecha, vila erev al tanach yadecha. So in the morning you should sow your seed, and in the evening, again, understood metaphorically, course of a person's life, do not let your hand rest. Incha yodeya, for you know not, ezeh yichshar, which will truly bear fruit, hazeh ozeh, this or that, ve'im shnehem ke'achad tovim. And maybe they'll be both equally good. So just to put it in you know, concrete terms, say a person has a nice sized family, three children, and again, this is not meant to be taken as prescriptive. Every family is different, and I don't have to tell you that there are many factors and health factors, psychological factors, sometimes even in extreme situations, financial factors weigh in. And the question is, all else being equal, to have another child? And the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua in particular, advocates it. And this pasuk in Koheles is saying, because who knows, maybe this fourth child will make a very significant contribution, and maybe not only to your own family. You know, what I always think of in this context, especially this time of year, preparing for reading Megillah Esras, is that David was the afterthought in his family. You remember the story in the Navi where Shmuel comes to anoint a king, and they don't even think of David. It didn't occur to anybody. Even Masu Habonim Haisa LeRosh Pina. So the Gemara is saying is you don't know, how things are going to turn out, and maybe this Ben Zakunim, your Bat Zakunim, will, have a very significant impact. So in light of that, a certain degree of humility or modesty would militate in favor of continuing on. Yes, Amiri.
No, I'm just laughing because I'm the youngest of five. My mother always said, she didn't really want me, but it turned out okay. So.
I'm glad that you're not didn't take that the wrong way.
Them in their old
carried
age,
that through your entire life.
Right, right.
My husband always said, didn't it always disturb you? She said, I said, when people say they didn't really want you. I said, in my family, nothing bothered anybody.
Ah, I give you a lot of credit for not taking that the wrong way. So Rabbi Kiva, who was a student of Rabbi Yeshua, picks up the thread from his teacher, but develops it in a different direction. So you can see the connection, but then also Rabbi Kiva's ingenuity here. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Lama Torah biyalduso, yilmo Torah bizikneso. So just because a person learns Torah at a relatively earlier phase of life does not mean that the person should not continue to study Torah. Hayulo talmidim b'yalduso, yihiyulo talmidim b'ziknuso. Shene'emar, baboker zira es zarecha, v'la'erev al tanach yadecha, as the pasuk goes on. So Rabbi Kiva, just as Rabbi Yeshua said it about one's biological family, what Rabbi Kiva relates it to one's spiritual descendants, talmidim. So the Gemara notes that Rabbi Kiva's extension of Rabbi Yeshua's principle was rooted in a very difficult experience that he had had. Amru, it was said, Shneim Asar Elef Zugim Talmidim, Shneim Asar Elef, 12,000 Zugim, or pairs, or Chavrutot, of Talmidim, Hayulo le Rabbi Akiva, mi Gvas ad Antifras. There's great controversy where exactly Gvas and Antifras is. The simple reading of the Gemara is merely to suggest, like it says in Navi, you often find, mi Dan v'ad Be'er Sheva, from north to south, from one end of Israel to the other. This Rabbi Akiva had this massive number of students. Whether or not it's literally 24,000 or not is not my concern. The reason I say it may be metaphorical is that when we talk about 12,000 times 2, any sets of 12 times 2, what does that bring to mind in terms of Rabbi Akiva's personal story, if anybody recalls? Rabbi Akiva, who
went to study.
Right, very, very good, Daniela, right. So the story goes that Rabbi Akiva, when he was 40 years old, became involved in study of Torah, and then the first round is till he was 52, and then till he was 64. So there's two sets of 12. So maybe this is the Gemara's way of keeping things in parallel. But the point is, he had some massive number of students all over Israel. V'chulan mesu b'perek echad. They all died during one period of time. Mipnei shelo nahagu kavod zelazeh. The Gemara is able to pinpoint a particular reason that there was something deficient in their behavior or their relation to one another. Shelo nagu kavod zeh lazeh. You know, it's like a puzzling Gemara. And there's always room for improvement, right, in terms of behavior. But the idea that they should, you know, die in a kind of a terrible plague, particularly for this reason, it's an interesting thing. Simply because the Gemara seems so unusual in its ability to like define cause and effect, and you know, if I might say so myself, and what superficially, at least, appears to be a disproportionate way, is this famous position taken by Rav Shrira Gaon that the Gemara is an allegory. It's actually, you know, some kind of a hidden allusion to the fact that Rabbi Akiva's students, however many there were, not exactly 24,000, all died in insurgency against Rome. We know that Rabbi Akiva, the Yerushalmi in particular, testifies to the fact that Rabbi Akiva was a believer in the messianic credentials of this man named Bar Koziba, Shimon Bar Koziba, that is referred to as Bar Kochba. And this, unfortunately, was Rabbi Akiva's undoing. Rabbi Akiva had a messianic streak to him. This is not to take away from Rabbi Akiva's, you know, greatness and his contribution to the Masorah. That's the way Rav Shrira Gaon interprets the Gemara. I wanted you to at least be aware of that. My entire analysis will assume that that's not the case, and that the Gemara actually means what it says, and the Gemara is trying to teach us something very important.
How does Lo Nahagu Kavod Zeh Lazeh fall into that interpretation?
Well, that's my problem with it. It's not just an oblique reference. It's like a hidden, or, you know. Mm. That's why I'm not comfortable with it. It's a v'haya ha'olam shamem, and the world was desolate of Torah study. Rashi elaborates that point. Ad shebar Rabbi Akiva etzel rabosenu shebedarom, until Rabbi Akiva came to people who were already respected rabbis, rabosenu shebedarom ushina alahem, but Rabbi Akiva, he developed them further, and they are Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, that's Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua, Veheim Heim Ha'emidu Tara Osasha. And these five, and there's nobody who would deny this, they are the core personalities of the Mishnah. You know, hardly go through a Mishnah without seeing, you know, Stam Mishnah, for example, an unnamed, unidentified Mishnah, is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua, these are all, you know, first-rate Tanoim. So everybody can appreciate now the thread of the Gemara. Right? The Gemara started with Rabbi Yeshua saying, with respect to family life, continued to invest. Rabbi Akiva developed that in terms of study of Torah and teaching Torah in particular. And then the Gemara gives a very personal example of Rabbi Akiva's own life, where it would have been easy for him to pack it in, you know, to say, this didn't really work out for me, and, you know, to be fully traumatized. And instead, Rabbi Akiva wants to move forward. There are many who have pointed out, right, this seems to be a motif in terms of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was never one to be, you know, crushed or defeated in the total sense of the term. He always, you know, had this very forward-looking mentality. I'm here alluding to the Gemara at the very end of Maseches Makos on Daf Chaf Dalet, where the, you know, the other rabbis are crying and Rabbi Akiva is laughing because he says, Ma'inyan Zecharia Yitzel Uriya. The idea of I didn't know whether or not the vision, the ultimate vision, Zechariah owed Yeshu Zekenim Zekenos Birchovos Yerushalayim, and that, you know, there would be rebirth until I saw the nevuah of Uriah fulfilled, of Tzion Sadeh Techaresh, that the city of Jerusalem would be plowed over. And of course the response is Akiva Nichamtanu, Akiva Nichamtanu. So, and rightly so, they pointed this out about Rabbi Akiva. But, you know, you have here, within this story, in this important life principle of resilience and perseverance, all of which is true, this remarkable discussion of a tragedy of Rabbi Akiva's life. And then the Gemara goes on. And each word here becomes of great significance. Tana was taught, Kula mesu mi Pesach ve'ad Atzeres. Where the Gemara, which said previously they all died at one time, now the Gemara feels the need to clarify and to identify that this was between the times of Pesach and Atzeres. I won't discuss it at any length today. I'll just mention to you that the textual variant that our tradition of not observing mourning until all the way until Atzeres is based on the insertion of one word, which is probably not properly in the text, but Kula Mesu mi Pesach ve'ad, not Atzeres, but Pros ha'Atzeres, which essentially means 2 weeks before. Pros means literally half. Kezayis bichde achilas pras means half of a loaf of bread. So Pros ha'Atzeres means half of a month before Atzeres, basically 2 weeks. That's the discussion. Is it 33 days? Is it 34 days? Okay. But be that as it may, the simple reading of the Gemara is that Mipesach ve'ad Atzeres. Just bear in mind, in terms of the logic of the Gemara, that Atzeres is Zman Matan Torasenu. Okay, that they all die, they all lack something that prevents them from reaching Atzeres. Says Amar of Chama bar Abba v'Isema Rabbi Chia bar Avin, Kulam Mesu Misa Ra. They all died a terrible death. Maihi Amar of Nachman Askara. So Rav Nachman identifies, and this is where it will ring a bell. Head back to the Gemara and Brachos now. That the Gemara identifies that they died the death of Askara. Just turn the page for a second. This is the Gemara and Brachos in the first parak. And the Gemara discusses this issue. So, Alzos is the third source. Alzos yispalo kol chasad elecha le'es mitzo. Regarding this, in particular, every pious person should pray to you, Hashem, at the time when it is found. Amr bichanina le'es mitzo zo isha. What this means is a person should pray for a healthy marriage, a good marriage. Shene'emar matza isha matza tov. It's a person who makes a good marriage choice, has made a very important and good life choice. Bima'arava in Israel, kinasev inish itisa, when a person would marry a woman, armilei, they would say to him, hachi, as follows, matza o motze, are you one who has found or one who is motze? Matza dechsev matza isha matza tov, v'yafek ratzon me'ashem, motze dechsev u'motze ani mar maves es ho'isha. I find Shlomo HaMelech reflecting on his very unhappy unions Shlomo says in his 1,000 wives, he didn't find any companionship whatsoever. V'isha b'chol eila lo matzasi, he says. So motze ani mar mimaves es haisha, I find the woman mar mimaves, more bitter than death itself. It's not a compliment. So they would say to the person who got married, are you a matzah isha matzah tov, or a motze? One hopes that one knows what the answer was, but you know, you never know. Okay. So this is the first thing. We could all agree that that's something very important to pray for. The reason I'm going to just read all of these examples in the Gemara is because I think that this Gemara has a lot to do with Rabbi Akiva. Each stage of the Gemara will be a very important point. So Rabbi Nasan Omer le'es mitzoh zo Torah she'ne'emar ki motzi'i matzah chayim. Okay, le'es mitzoh is a reference to Torah, which is described as one who finds me has found life itself. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amar le'es mitzoh zo misa. A person should daven at the appropriate time to have if not a painless death, but a death with some dignity. Shene'emar, lamaves totsaos. Tanya nami hachi, a braisa, tshameos ushlosha mine misa nivru'u ba'olam. 903 different ways a person may expire, leave this world in the physical sense of the term. Shene'emar, lamaves totsaos. Totsaos, bigamatria hachi havu. Right, if you take the tufs at the end, each tuf is 400, so that's 800. You have the tzadi in the middle, which is 90. You have the two vavs, there's six each. So that's already 902, and then the aleph is 1. 903. Kasha shebechulan askara. So the worst kind of the worst way to die is to die of askara, which is the Gemara's way of saying, right, you put the Gemara's together, that Rabbi Akiva's students, not only were they punished, but may seem disproportionately, but they suffered this horrific way. The Gemara goes on to describe the death of Askara as trying to take like a thorn or a sharp twig out of wool without tearing it. It's impossible. And the opposite, they consider the ideal death is this thing called Misas Nishika. Chazal say that Moshe and Aharon, exactly, and Miriam achieved that, which is the Gemara likens to removing a hair from a piece of milk. In other words, without any, it just slides right out if you would, you know, lift a hair out of a little bit of milk. Okay. So just bear that in mind. So, I mean, this Gemara is an extension of the previous Gemara that we saw. Underscores our question, but I think develops it even further, that you have to really think very deeply about what this story is about, that not only would they all die, they were all obliterated right away, but they died in a horrific way. The Gemara itself admits in a horrific way. Okay, so skipping ahead to the next section, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, La'es mitzoh zo kavura, that a person should daven to be buried. So Amar Rabbi Chanina Maikra, Hasmechem Eli Gil Yasisu ki yimtzu kaver. That a person should die, that he should come to proper kavura. So just mention very briefly that each one of these first four suggestions in the Gemara played a very significant role in Rabbi Akiva's life. Rabbi Akiva, of course, was inspired to learn. The Gemara records the story. Rabbi Akiva did not have any personal aspiration towards scholarship. That was the doings of his wife, Matzah Isha, Matzah Tov. And of course, Leis Mitzoh, the next suggestion is Torah. Then, as we know, this third section very directly relates to Rabbi Akiva in terms of his students. And the fourth one, anybody know what the classical example in the Gemara is of a large community that was involved in the Bar Kokhba rebellion? That didn't, yeah, they weren't Exactly. And when they finally were buried, so what part of our liturgy do we have? Right, so the fourth bracha on benching, Atov V'Ameitiv, is actually, the Gemara says, it's about the Haruge Besar, which was the really about the Bar Kokhba revolt. So, again,
it was
all...
supposedly buried on Lech Bomer also?
Yes. That's one of the traditions. So again, it is really interesting to me. The Gemara plays out that way. The Gemara gives a fifth suggestion, which we'd spoken about in the past. Samar Zitra Amar La'es Mitzo Zebe Sakise, that one should pray to find a usable, clean bathroom. Imre B'Marava Hadamar Zitra Adifa Michulu. And perhaps somewhat facetiously, the Gemara says that marzutras may be more important than the rest. Okay, so be that as it may, I just wanted you to have this Gemara in Brachos in the back of your mind, both in terms of Rabbi Akiva more generally, but especially in terms of underscoring and what I like to call upping the ante. We started with the question of how could you have Nihuge Avelos during Chol HaMoed, read the Gemara in Yevamos, and then, the idea that they all died, and now according to the Gemara in Brachos, that they were punished in the most severe way imaginable. So then the question becomes, do we have any direct evidence at all that the students of Rabbi Akiva really were engaged in what we would describe as lo nagu kavod zelaza. So I'm going to give you my opinion. My opinion is based on two Gemaras. The first is a Gemara Nedarim on Daf Mem, and then there's a Gemara in Masachas Ksuvos and Daf Samach Gimel. I've excerpted the key parts of the Gemara just so that we can cover as much ground as possible, but this is the best case that I can make. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. The topic here of the Gemara Nedarim is the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. So the Gemara diverges from the strictly legal discussion to reflect a little bit on an anecdote. Ma'ase b'talmid echad mitalmidei Rabbi Akiva shechala. One of Rabbi Akiva's students took ill. Lo nichnasu chachamim levakro. But the sages, presumably amongst them his many colleagues, the Gemara said that there were 24,000, whatever that actually means in practice, but nobody went to visit him, with the sole exception of V'nichnas Rabbi Akiva Levakro. The only one who cared enough to take the time to do Bikur Cholim was Rabbi Akiva. U'bishvil shekibdo v'rivitso lefanav chaya. So the Gemara makes no bones about it and says, Bishvil, on account of the fact that shekibdo, Rabbi Akiva cleaned him v'rivitso, and in this case it means literally washed him, that was the only reason the student lived. The student was wallowing in his illness and was going to die. And Rabbi Akiva's sensitivity merely to visit, which turned into much more than just your average Bikur Cholim visit, saved his life. So Amarlo, the student says to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Hechi Sani, you saved my life. So the Gemara is not ambiguous about this, and Rabbi Akiva was appalled, understandably. Yatsa Rabbi Akiva Vidarash, so Rabbi Akiva made a point of going out and publicly proclaiming, using deliberately provocative, somewhat inflammatory language, Kol mi she'eno mevaker es acholim ki'ilu shofech damim, that everybody who's not doing what I just did, in other words, everybody, all of you, are murderers. So Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara, I think, is presenting, on the one hand, he's certainly, on a personal level, extremely considerate, and will do anything to help a student, and to go visit, and, emerges with, obviously, a very righteous image of Rabbi Akiva from this Gemara, number one. Number two, without a question, making an attempt to make it very clear, unequivocal to anybody who will listen, that he doesn't take this matter lightly. And yet at the same time, you get the impression from the Gemara that it just wasn't working very well. Just didn't really have an impact on his students. So this is the Gemara. This is Gemara number one. Again, I think a very interesting Gemara to hold up in light of the Gemara in Yevamos of Lo Nagu Kavod Zelose. Gemara number two, I really excerpted a brief version, so I'll just expand a little bit. This is where the Gemara establishes the history of Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says that there was a very wealthy landed person in Yerushalayim by the name of Kalba Savua, and he had many employees. So one of his employees was this shepherd named Akiva ben Yosef. And we'll return to this topic later because I think it's an interesting formula in the Gemara. But the Gemara says that Kalba Savua's daughter took notice of Rabbi Akiva. The actual language in the Gemara suggests that she was impressed by a certain characteristic that Rabbi Akiva had. Anybody happen to know the Gemara, just have at one point seen it? So the Gemara uses two words. I'll just mention the second one now. We'll come back to the expression. Snui, that he was modest. That she found him to be modest. Well, it says a lot about a person that she was... What was she looking for in a spouse? Modesty. It's like a very interesting thing to say about a person. I think a very flattering thing, actually, to say about a person.
Is Kalba Savua the one with where we have some Gedalia, the story with the party that he invited?
Is Kalba Savua? Yeah. So that's the actually. Yeah. So I know exactly what you're referring to. So the Gemara Masachas Gittin and Daf Nun Vav and Nun Zayin tells a story of a party that played a role in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Kamsa and Bar Kamsa.
Oh, Bar Kamsa.
Right. So it's called. Yeah, this is just like about a generation and a half, two generations after that story. But Kalba Savua is a character in the Talmud. He comes up often. He's one of the three wealthiest men in Yerushalayim. Nakdimom and Guryon was...
And that's his actual name, or is that a euphemism for his name?
The Gemara assumes it's euphemistic. Gemara says that anybody who entered his home ra'ev kekelev, hungry as a dog, left Savua. Okay, you know, his name was Brian. I don't know. I don't know what his name was, but so the Gemara says that she found him to be refined, and they strike this deal where they're going to get married. But she says you have to learn, and you know. It's interesting. So Rabbi Akiva, not yet Rabbi Akiva, Akiva ben Yosef agrees. Hard to believe he knew what he was getting himself into. I mean, how would he know? But he agrees. And the Gemara says that he's gone for 12 years. Now, meanwhile, these are some very nasty people, I have to say. Some of the nastiest people in the Gemara. So the Kalba Savua disowns his daughter because, you know, she disgraced him and humiliated him in, you know, in terms of the high society. And so she's now overnight impoverished and, you know, far from the new neighbors rallying around her. So the Gemara says is they would repeatedly mock her that, like, you know, she's some incredibly naive woman that she thinks that her husband, you know, is off studying, you know, to be a rabbi somewhere or something. And he obviously ran off with somebody, and she's, like, you know, wasting her life. And the Gemara describes very, very nasty personal attacks that people were making against her. And the Gemara says that she responded, you know, not only, you know, am I happy with his learning, if it were up to me, he'd go back and learn for another 12 years. Whether or not the Gemara means this literally, so the Gemara says, at that moment, Rabbi Akiva happened to sort of, you know, be walking back, and he turned himself around. What it probably means is that, you know, she made it clear to him that, you know, I want you to continue for as long as, you know, is humanly possible. So after 24 years, and this is where the Gemara picks up, after 24 years of learning, so Rabbi Akiva now is, you know, very prominent person. And like every prominent person, he's got all these hangers-on. You know, there's all these people that sort of, like, are part of his entourage, but aren't in any sense like him, but they're just attaching themselves to celebrities. So what the Gemara says. So he's coming back. She wants to go greet him. She works her way to the front of the line. Ki matia legabei, when she reaches him, matia is to arrive, legabei is to him. Nafla al apa, she literally falls on her face. Kaminash gale lichra'e, and she gives nishikot to his kira'ayim, vanachnu karim, literally to the lower part of his legs. It's like a very emotional scene. So havu kamidchafila shima'e. So lidchof is to push. So literally she's being physically removed, physically pushed by Rabbi Kiva's attendants. Amar lahu, so he says to them, knock it off, leave her alone. Shavkuha, leave her alone. Shali v'shalachem, everything that's mine and everything that's yours that you have through me, shalahu, it's all hers. And so I admit one doesn't need to look at the Gemara this way, but I always discerned in this Gemara a certain basic lack of sensitivity. I fully admit that they wouldn't have known that it was his wife, but who was she? She was just some poor helpless woman. There was no other way to deal with her. So it reminds me of a story in the Nevi'im. You have exactly the same story. The Chazal are extremely critical of the behavior of the individual involved. So there's a story in the fourth chapter of Malachim Bet. It's actually my bar mitzvah of Torah. The story is of Elisha ben Shaphat, who was Eliyahu's successor. So Eliyahu was able to do Tchiyas HaMesim. So Elisha sort of picked up where his Rebbe left off. And there's this woman who's hosting him, the Isha HaShunamit. And she even does construction on the house. Nasana Aliyat Kir Kitana. And it's a beautiful story. And so Elisha, at that time, is training his would-be successor. Right? This Gehazi. It doesn't pan out at all. Gehazi, eventually, Chazal put him in like the lowest of the low. They say, "Ein lo chelek l'olam haba." So anyway, Elisha promises that Hashem will give this barren woman a child. The child is born. And anytime you have this kind of a motif in Tanakh, starting with Akedas Yitzchak, the story always goes the same way. The Akara gives birth, and the child is nearly taken away, or taken away. That's always the story. For example, Chana and Shmuel, the child is taken away, he's put in the Mishkan. Akedat Yitzchak, the child was going to be taken away from Sarah, the child is going to be taken away, the child dies. So Elisha, the story is, so he goes and he performs Tchiyas HaMesim. But on the way, the woman comes to Elisha and literally grabs hold of him. And the Navi says, Vaigash Gehazi Lahadfa. So Gehazi goes to literally to physically cast her away. And Elisha says, Harpela, leave her alone. Nafsha Marala, she's obviously a distraught woman. Vahashem Halimi Mani Vlohigidli. And Hashem has obscured this from me. So basically, you know, what Elisha is saying is, leave her alone. Leave her alone. That, you know, there's obviously something going on here. So again, you don't have to see it this way. Certainly not. The Gemara Nedarim is a much more direct point. I always discerned in this Gemara a certain attitude, or a certain lack of humanity that involved the treatment of Rabbi Kiva's wife. So in any event, so if you have these two sources, then maybe you can make the argument when the Gemara in the Bamba says Lo Nagu Kavod Zalazeh, that this really was characteristic of who they were. I wanted to try then to make the following argument. The issue was not, in that sense, an objective issue of Lo Nagu Kavod Zalazeh automatically translates into, you know, therefore you must be punished with Misa, and it must be Misa's Askara. But I'd like to try to argue, to begin to make the argument about, is that it had something in specific to do with the fact that they were Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. It's that they should have known better, and in particular, since they were associated with Torah at the highest level, the impact of their lo nahagu kavod zeh lazeh was not merely a failure, let's say, in the realm of kavod habrios, of showing proper respect, but maybe even began to approach a chilul Hashem. Now, a chilul Hashem is a much graver kind of violation. I just want to try to substantiate this through the use of two sources in particular. The final Gemara in Masachas Brachos, Daf Samach Dalet, the last Gemara in Perek HaRoah, which we'll start next week, and the Gemara in Masachas Yom and Daf Pevav. After these two Gemaras, we'll just take a quick break and then begin the second level of this whole analysis. So the Gemara in Brachos says, Amar Rabbi Lezer, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. The responsibility of Talmidei Chachamim is to enhance Shalom Ba'olam. The Talmud Chacham, definitionally, has to engage in Riboy Shalom, Ohev Shalom, Virodev Shalom. Okay, that's why it was so important to Hillel to be this way. Shene'emar, the Pasuk says, V'chol banayich limudei Adonai, V'rav Shalom banayich. Al tikre banayich, ela bonayich. So bonayich literally means are those who build for you. The Talmidei Chachamim are not just your children, but they are bonayich, the ones who are constructive, literally, binyan, to construct, to be a force for constructive engagement in this world. Shalom rav lo havei toratecha vein lamo mechshol yi shalom bechilech shalvar banotayich, leman achai v'reyai adab ranashen lombach, leman beit Hashem elokein avak shetov lach. And basically, the idea is to be able to, at once, without having any kind of tension between the two, to be able to say, Lema'an achai v'reyai, I'm integrated with my brothers and my friends, there's social integration. Lema'an achai v'reyai, and at the very same time, Lema'an beis Hashem Elokeinu. That it's no stira, it's no paradox. I could be ben adam l'chavero and ben adam l'makom. That's the idea. Metamidei Rabbi Akiva, by creating a fissure between these two, had done something much worse, arguably, than merely lo nagu kavod zeh lazeh. And in particular, perhaps even more direct than the Gemara in Brachos, which I think is an important step along the road, is the Gemara in Yoma. This, to me, is the classic source of how we should think about the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva in a different light altogether. We started with the question, how in the world could you have mourning during Cholo Shel Moed, or merely Nisan itself, when the Gemara says, it's not just the quantity of students who died, but let's say the reason that they did die, I would argue we're not mourning. 24,000, sadly for us, would not be in the top 10 of destructions in Jewish history. We're not mourning the death per se. Like I said, even Chorban Beis HaMikdash, which was many, many more deaths involved, is only 3 weeks, but it's the underlying pathology. So the Gemara in Yuma says the following, Hichi dami chil Hashem. What is a chil Hashem? I'm a Rav. So Rav explains, Kigon Ana, somebody like me, somebody who's associated with Torah, identified broadly as a Torah scholar, Ishakilna Bisra Mitabacha, if I were to purchase, really, Basar, meat from the Tabach, from the butcher, Sara Tabachim, Lo Yahivna Dami La'altar, and I did not give, Dami is money, La'altar right away. In other words, I'm late in paying my bill. Like, big deal. That's a chilul Hashem. The answer is yes. This is a very ironic point, and I don't think I'll be able to fully articulate it, but there's this really important nuance and even irony within the halachic system. In other words, the bigger Talmid Chacham somebody is, the standards actually go up. Is that the leeway goes up? The standards go up. So because if Rav is seen as the paragon of Torah by Jews in the community, people say, oh, he's not so sensitive to the butcher. And then the butcher has to pay his rent, right? The butcher has to be able to run his business. And, you know, he's 3 months late. And what does he think? He's entitled to behave this way. So that, in and of itself, the Gemara defines as a chil Hashem. Now, I think if it's true, the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, you have to put in a different perspective. Even if they weren't at the level of Rav was unquestionably the greatest Talmid Chacham of his generation, Nonetheless, the point is very well taken. So the Gemara elaborates. Abayi Amar Kidetanya. V'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha, sheyehei Shem Shemayim misahev al yadecha. That we all have a responsibility to make sure that the Shem Shemayim is beloved through our actions. Sheyehei Kore, we should study Torah Shebichtav. V'shona, we should study Torah Shebal Peh. U'mishamesh Talmidei Chachamim and involve ourselves with the scholarly community. All dealings should be done benachas im habrios. Ma habrios omro salav. What will people say? Ashrei aviv shalim do Torah. Ashrei rabo shalim do Torah. Oy lahem labrios shalolam do Torah. Ploni shalom do Torah. Re'u kama na'im drachav kama misukani ma'asav. So everybody will say, how wonderful it is. Wonderful and happy is his father who taught him Torah. Wonderful is his teacher who taught him Torah. How unfortunate are people who never had the chance to study Torah. This person who has learned Torah, see how wonderfully he behaves. See how upright and honest he is. Alav HaKasev Omer, about him it is said, Vayomer li avdiata Yisrael asher becha espar. You are my servant, O Israel. Through you, I will be exalted. Aval mi, shekorei v'shona u'mashamish talmid v'chachamim ve'ein masa u'matano be'amuna. Somebody who is not honest, and yet he's associated with the Torah community. Ve'ein ziburo b'nachas im abrios, and he's not pleasant to deal with. Ma abrios omro salav. Oy lo leploni shalom haTorah. Oy lo leaviv shalim do Torah. Oy lo lerabo shalim do Torah. Ploni shalom haTorah. Re'u kama mikul kalin ma'asav. How crooked are his ways. V'chama mikhu arin d'rachav. And how unpleasant are his paths in life. So the point that the Gemara is making is that there's no excuse. If you're not going to be honest and you're not going to be pleasant in dealings with people, the consequences in terms of the public perception are disastrous. Disastrous. Okay, so I think this Gemara itself is a very, very important source to bear in mind. We're only about a quarter of the way there. I know that the time is getting crunched. So after the 5-minute break, I'm going to take a look at the next source. I may summarize one or two sources I hope to read inside. But right now, at least, we have the beginning of the direction, that it's not so much the deaths themselves, but the underlying issue of Chilul Hashem, and perhaps the suggestion then that this has not been corrected, that this issue of Chilul Hashem, you know, continues to go on, and maybe that is the one thing that's worth mourning. The very fact that Talmidei Rabbi Kiva didn't make it until Zman Matan Torah Seinu, you know, I always like to connect that with the idea of Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. They couldn't pass step one, so they couldn't get to step two, the Derech Eretz piece, so they couldn't get to Zman Matan Torah Seinu. I think is a very nice way of interpreting this, but there really is, you know, much, much, much more. And that's the point that I wanted to try to develop as we go forward, and then to bring everything together in terms of, you know, how it is that we can justify Avelos at this time, and to begin to see this in some additional ways. Okay, so we'll hold it up there, just take a 5-minute break, and then we'll pick it back up, let's say, at 22.